On this episode of Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I sit down inside the brewery for an interview at Old Irving. Dude, these last 3 weeks of the week, what'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, and it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley.
I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we are on location in the middle of the brewery here at Old Irving.
Man, this is cool, man. We got brewmaster, co-owner, Trevor Rose Hamblin.
Hello.
Thanks for inviting us into your space here. This is
awesome.
Of
course. Mi casa es su casa. Welcome.
Yeah. How many times have you done this back here, man?
I think this is our first time.
Right on.
Yeah, I think you are the first, yeah. All the we're very much a neighborhood place. A lot of kids are getting out of school, so all the teachers are coming here to tie 1, 2, or 10 on. So we've been relocated back to the back of the brewery, inside the actual brew house, which we just freshly cleaned because we brewed today. So
yeah,
should smell nice and crisp.
Right. Yeah. The tap room's hopping. The bar's pretty full. You said the seating area. I've never sat in the seating area. I've only ever sat at the bar. And yeah, so that's about to fill up here. So
yeah,
it's our only spot.
Yeah. Yeah. Trevor's got some strange concoction in a tulip glass with ice and lime. There's 2011 Dark Lord on the table. Brad went with the hops for hops. Is that right?
Hops for hope.
Hops for hope.
Yeah.
And I got a raspberry sour.
Yeah, it's called Raspberry Factory.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the two beers that you're drinking right now, the hops for hope is near and dear to my heart. That's the one that we did with Hope for the Day. Big shout out to those guys. They own a little coffee shop in the city. With Dark Matter Coffee called Sip of Hope. Really awesome little shop where all the proceeds go to, kind of destigmatize the conversation about suicide and mental health specifically.
Yeah.
So this beer we made with all that in mind with our friends down the road. They're actually just down on Cicero, about half a mile down the road from us right now. So neighbors and friends. And the whole idea behind the beer, which is super cool, is the actual label of the beer has veteran services on it. It's got helplines, the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, all that good stuff. So you can literally have a conversation about suicide prevention and awareness over a beer. So kind of disruptive and kind of a new way of thinking about having those conversations. Sure, it's a depressant, but let's be honest. Everyone's drinking beer, and why not have a conversation about it? So that was cool. People have that on tap, a bunch of different places. Beerhead Bar and Eatery just brought it on. Kuma's Corner, Fishman's down the road, just to like name a few. I'm missing a bunch, but a bunch of people put it on tap, and they're donating $1 from every pint glass.
That's awesome.
To Hope for the Day, because they believe in the message and they believe in good beer. So it's a good thing. So,
you know, beer and conversation in the world's greatest beer bars go hand in hand.
Exactly. I mean,
shit like this is important. You know, right. People need an outlet to discuss things.
Absolutely, yeah, man. And you know, at the end of the day, like for a lot of people, man, like that's self care. You go out, you have some pints. You know, you're taking care of yourself. You had a hard week. You want to have a pint of beer, and like you look at that. Maybe you're having a hard time, and all of a sudden you're like, damn. You know, I'm thinking about my buddy who's maybe been struggling lately with finances, or I'm thinking about my friend who, you know, makes all these like weird like Facebook messages. You know, you're like, oh my god, like that's pretty dark. You know, and then all of a sudden you're like, maybe I should help. And that's what we want. That's what we're out here to do with Hope for the Day, is to kind of push people to help. And the beer doesn't suck either. I kind of teamed up with Brewer Supply Group. They donated half the amount of grain for the whole recipe so we could donate more money to Hope for the Day. YCH, Yakima Chief, they donated half the hops. Our boys at Omega Yeast, two blocks down the road, they donated all the yeast for it and are like huge supporters of this cause. And then, of course, we made the beer, and it's double dry hopped with Amarillo Equinot, a little bit of Citra, big, juicy, 7.5%. So we wanted to make it something that people would want to come and get. You know, we understand that it's just available at the pub, so, you know, people got to want to come and get it, and they're not going to do that for, you know, some, like, light little dainty beer. We had to make it kind of big and bold. So
yeah, with that Amarel and Citra hops, you kind of have this nice, like, classic IPA kind of flavors going on, too. Not
totally
full-on pineapple haze.
Yeah, which is fine, because I love those beers, too. Yeah.
So you guys have really leaned into the hazy beers, because we have a fresh can of Breezy here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The artwork is killer, too, man. Beezer's in cans, and then so is Della.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we actually just put those out last week in cans. Super exciting for us. We've been wanting to do production since, like, day one of opening, and we bought ourselves a Wild Goose two-head filler. And, you know, we didn't get all the bells and whistles, you know, we don't have like a depalletizer. So we're like hand loading in the cans, taking them off the table that we're actually on right now for this interview, gets put up on PVC stilts and then collects the cans at the end. And then we hand palletize, hand pack tech every 4-pack for you people out there. And then you'll even see, we don't even have like a date coder on the bottom of it. So all the date codes are on top, like a freaking, you know, price tag almost, but we want to make sure people knew when it was canned, so you're getting the freshest possible beer, and you know, for inventory purposes as well. So
right on.
Yeah.
Now, how long has it been, man? Like 2016 or so, right?
Yeah, September 2016, we opened up our doors. We're almost at 3 years in total right now, and it's going great, man. Neighborhood's really responded well. We love our neighborhood. We love our community. That's like the first mission for us, is taking care of the people around us, because that's what local craft beer is about.
Right.
And now we're starting to spread our wings a little bit, but we're, you know, it's still Chicago. It's still six counties, you know. So, yeah, man, things are going well. And I think the, you know, the extra little bit of cans out on the market, draft sales, all that stuff, people keep coming back in, or they're coming, you know, to have that good food or that good beer, or that good cocktail, spreading a wide net. So,
yeah, I know a few friends that they're in the north suburbs, and they love to come here because like right off the expressway. So it's like a good halfway point for they could just jump in and jump out, and like I can roll up here and meet up.
Totally.
So it's nice.
Yeah, we were totally shooting for that, man.
Yeah, the blue line fuckers, right off the blue line too.
Yep, yeah. Right there. Yeah, we want to make it convenient. We want to be like, if you're in the city, it's not too far. If you're out in the burbs, it's not too far.
Yeah,
you know, and you don't have to full dive into the city and worry about too much traffic. You can maybe take some back roads to get here, or just, you know, shoot down on the blue line. So yeah, that's kind of the point.
The burger, people have been going nuts over the burger. Time Out Chicago, top 25 burger in the city.
Yeah.
Now, you got a chef background. How did the kitchen come together? Because that's a big component. Like, people love the food here too.
Yeah. So what I did was me and the rest of our group, we hired a guy with the exact same name as me, named Trevor, which I was very opposed to. I knew that was going to get confusing. No, we are really super proud of our program here on the food side. The food means a lot to me. I know it means a lot to Jeff, my business partner. He's kind of a big foodie as well. And so we really pour over this stuff. You know, we like tried out like probably 10 to 15 different kinds of blends of meats. We hired a baker. His name's Eric. He's very much a brewer at heart, because he's like a bald dude who's pissed off all the time and has a lot of tattoos and just wants to kind of be left alone. I think bakers and brewers are very similar in that way.
Early risers, right?
Early risers. He's here before I am, and I'm here at 7 a.m. most days. So that dude gets up really to make some delicious bread. So he makes all of our buns. So all of our sandwiches, all of our burgers, all made with his recipes for the buns. And then it's just the sum of its parts, man. Caramelize some onions properly, you know, use the right kind of cheddar cheese on it, and just love, man. It's just love, top to bottom, left to right. And I'm glad that people are feeling that love. That's what matters. So
I wanted to ask you a little bit about your history, because when I first met you, the assumption was like, oh, well, Trevor was a chef, and then this was like his first gig brewing. But then you actually, like, you brewed. You had a 90-day internship at fucking Scotland.
Yeah.
What was Scotland like? What was it like working with the Brewdog guys?
It was so awesome. I got to tell you, man, first and foremost, like, going to the UK was super rad. I've been there before, but I've never spent, like, a lot of time there. And making the connections with those people was nothing short of amazing. I got super lucky. There was a show called Brewdogs. You guys might remember with the two guys from Brewdog, James Watt. And Martin
episode.
Dickey.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that, the Rev episode was the one I was on. Now, that was a different time in my life when I was the general manager of Moto, which was like an avant-garde molecular gastronomy restaurant. Uh-huh. You'd like see your menu and then you'd eat it and it would taste like fucking bruschetta and butter and all kinds of, or you'd see a Cuban cigar, you'd eat that and it would taste like a Cuban pork sandwich. So we were about messing with your mind a little bit. And so when we got the call, Omar, my boss at the time, looks over at me and he goes, dude, we plan on opening a brewery. You should probably be like on the show with them. I was like, yeah. And so I hung out with, I got to hang out with James Watt and Martin Dickey. Well, most importantly, I got to hang out with their executive producer, this guy, Jared, who was just a mensch. He was like the nicest guy on the planet. And so him and I got to talking after the show happened and everything. And he would just check up on me regularly, asking how the brewery's doing. And he still does, you know. And, but at one point, I was like, man, I got to get the hell out of Chicago. Like, Omar's working me too much. I can't get into breweries. I'm supposed to open this brewery eventually. And the guy, I'm just too busy. He goes, I know a couple of lads in Scotland that'll take you. And I was like, yes, right now. I will go right now. I will give up everything. And Omar agreed and helped me out. You can't thank him enough for that.
I want to say it's on top of Ireland. Right, I think
Scotland, yeah, Scotland is to the north of Ireland, yeah. So the I went up to Scotland, well, because technically Scotland, anyway, it doesn't matter. Ireland is an island off of that, and then the continent is split up between England and Scotland, and they're connected,
all right.
Which is why the Scots have always had a lot of issues with the English, right? So there's been a lot of stuff going on there. But anyway, and it's still funny that kind of beef still exists. Like when you have English brewers versus Irish brewers, you had people from all the place, from Germany, you know, they had a whole different way of doing things. They were my favorites to work with because cleanliness was next to godliness for those people. yeah, man, I was out there for 3 months. I got to, I stayed in some government housing with a woman there who was amazing. Her name was Wendy. She just was super supportive of my mission, so she let me like basically go month-to-month rent with her. You should start off as a B&B kind of thing, and she helped me out in a big way. And then, drinking high lows, living on pennies, and making it all happen. Ate a lot of fish and chips. But the coolest thing about the trip was I got teamed up with this guy named Nick Ziegler, who now works for Yakima Chief. And he was out there, and he was... I'm not even sure what his general position was, but the dude had like 4 master's degrees, like one in brewing distilling, like one in microbiology, one in English. I don't know. He had like 4 master's degrees, and anytime the guy spoke, I wrote down every word he had to say because everything he said was pertinent, and he knew why I was there. And so he really helped me out. We worked on their pilot system, which was a 20 hectoliter system. Their system was like a five vessel, 100 hectoliter system. And they had, I mean, it was massive. Everything was automated. It was like so out of touch with what I was going to be doing here.
Right.
I was really excited to work on that small system. So we were working on like hop efficiencies, new beer recipes, you know, anything we could get our hands on. So we were kind of like the mad scientists in the place, kind of making that work for about 3 months. So
it's fun. Yeah, it's pretty interesting that like BrewDog and that they were almost pushing this new kind of brewing before everyone else was kind of on board. Like America has now really embraced that, but they were like, let's do this, let's do 44% beer, let's and people were like,
The ice beer thing was crazy. I actually worked on that program with them a little bit.
Is
and
that them, Tactical Nuclear, and is that them?
Tactical Nuclear, Penguin, Sink the Bismarck, all that stuff. They had that whole ice program going on while I was there. I got to work a little bit on that, which was super cool. And they just love pushing the boundaries. They really do hold true to kind of like the foundation of who they are. And you know, they've kind of gotten to that point now in the UK where I think a lot of people are kind of like, oh, BrewDog's too big. You know, they're they almost call themselves. I'm like, they're the exact opposite, man. They got Equity for Punks. They haven't sold out to anybody. They still work for themselves. They've expanded their business horizons, and they've done it all with a cool edge. And they make delicious product. Like I go in there and like their whole. From the R&D to, tasting the beers and making sure, you know, all their QC programs, everything was tight. I mean, it was just a very tightly run brewery. Yeah. So it was, the guys know what they're doing, man. They're awesome. Yeah.
Now, when you first, when this project first started, I vaguely remember, like, there were a lot of collabs between you and other brewers around town.
Big time.
So between those collabs and the BrewDog experience, did any of that influence like the equipment and stuff we see around here? Or is that all different?
Yeah, so definitely, Yeah, every I'm probably speaking for a lot of brewers here, but I think every brewer is influenced by every other brewer anytime they talk to them. Like, we take notes from each other. That's why you do collaborations, right? You're always taking notes. You know, maybe we see something that we like in their brewery. Like, if you look at the hoses behind you, you'll see these tri-clover clamps on the end of them. That's to protect the end of them. I saw this at another brewery. During a collaboration, I'm like, oh, I'm doing that on all my hoses now. It's like stuff like that. So yeah, big time. The tightness of it, I wanted to be more efficient. I like that about certain breweries. You know, of course, you study other people's stuff and you kind of make your brewery around that. Or maybe there's something you don't like about the brewery and you hear them complaining. You always hear about slope floors in other breweries, you know?
Yeah.
They're hard to clean with great. So we have a super hard slope on our floors to make sure that we get good drainage, you know, things like that.
How big is the crew? And then how big are these tanks we got in there?
So, well, it's a 15-barrel system, all allied beverage tanks. And then we have 30-barrel fermenters, 30-barrel bright tanks. So we have, in total, 6 30-barrel fermenters, 2 15-barrel fermenters, 1 30-barrel bright, 6 15-barrel single-shell serving tanks in our walk-in, and then 2 stacked 7.5-barrel servers. So quite a bit of capacity. We're probably, if we really push it, probably like 4,500 barrels a year we could push. Right now my crew's small. It's me, this guy Tim, who you saw earlier, and then another guy, Will, who started off just kind of interning and wanted to understand the process. And then there came a time where I was like, well, you're here every day, clearly I need you, I'm going to start paying you. So now I pay him, and they're both doing great work. So glad I do.
It seems like you guys must brew. Are you brewing every day or 5 days a week?
Almost. Before we were brewing probably like 3 to 4 times a week, and now we're pretty much brewing, you know, 5 days a week or doing some, like, if it's not brewing 5 days a week, then we're doubling up on brews on certain days to give ourselves a day off or something. But yeah, we're brewing quite a bit.
And with canning now, that adds.
Yeah, like, it adds.
You're
turning
over a lot of beer just in the restaurant, and then to add cans onto that.
Yeah, so. And the pub's getting busier, which is cool. And so that, like, the beer is going faster through there, and our to-go sales are going up. And then it's also summertime, so, you know, we're selling a lot of kegs to, like, local, you know, street fests and things like that. So
yeah, I've never not come here and saw it kind of chill.
Yeah,
like, there's always people here.
Yeah, we got super lucky, man. I worked in enough slow restaurants in my life. It's nice to be in one that's doing all right.
Yeah, I can dig it, man. What'd you guys brew today?
Today was our second turn of Beezer. So we did our first turn yesterday, did the second one today. Went great. That's the cans that you see in front of you. All artwork is done by Ink and Lead Designs. My man Jason over there did a great job. Kind of has this underwater vibe. He's got a umbrella under the water. Man, why? Because it's silly. It's stupid.
My man's got on a scuba suit with the umbrella.
Right. Why? Yeah, so that's kind of fun. Beezer is like a 1920s term for the nose. Like, you know, old slang. I saw the word and I thought it was kind of fun. And then Della, our Kolsch, kind of like our standard crusher. Like, we want people to just, like, empty these cans and move on and empty more of them. That one is named after, actually, the founder of Old Irving Park, his daughter. So his daughter's name was Della. We thought it was really pretty. And then we slacked it out with, like, just a ton of kind of Victorian kind of feels, with, like, a ghost Harry Potter train flying out from the sky and people running away in fear, because, you know, I'm also a little dark, so yeah. Trying to get all of us into one label, so yeah.
That's awesome. So you guys recently won Brewpub Award, right?
That's right,
the popular vote, man. The people's choice.
Yeah, that was way crazy. I didn't even know. I was kind of watching it and seeing it happen every day, and then to, like, see 18th Street and us, like, just back-to-back, like, 1 and 2 on it, I was just so pumped and thrilled. Drew Fox is a peach. Back when he was at Pipeworks, I was coming in and kind of helping out here and there, and I really wanted to get on the brew house, and he kind of, like, took me up, you know, very sternly, and was just like, you know, not a lot of people get to do this, right? And I was like, yep. And he was like, all right. And then, like, got to hang out with him a little bit. He taught me some things here and there. We even thought about, like, trying to find a way to work together at one point. And so I like the guy a lot. And he's seeing his successes and stuff is awesome. And then seeing him get number one, I was like, hell yeah. You know, like, this guy that I got to work with at one point, us getting 1 and 2 on that thing was super cool and super surprising. Yeah, we were very shocked. We were like, what? Come on.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Yeah, he's a likable guy. But when you look at the award, it sounds like, though, there was a panel that picked the finalists, right?
I think so, yeah.
So people, you know, the editors were like, well, these need to be the finalists.
Right.
And then the people are like, all right, well, cool, these are the finalists.
Right, this is what I'm picking
These
from.
Need to be 1 and 2.
Right. Super cool. Yeah,
it's awesome. Like, you're on our radar, drinking beer, we're like coming here, but yeah, to find out like USA Today has like
those kind of things when they happen, it's like I'm so buried in like the brew house and like thinking about like beer all the time that sometimes like things happen and I'm just kind of like, did that really just fucking happen? what the hell just happened? Yeah, it's cool,
man. So older.
You just call us OIB.
OIB.
OIB. It's easier. Yeah. It's not a tongue twister.
That sour is getting to you.
It is, man. The raspberry sour is catching me. Full production facility, full kitchen, and then full cocktail program.
Yeah,
too,
dude.
Right?
So. Yeah, my boy Matt Green. So Matt and I work together at a place called Unite Urban Grill. It's like a steak joint. It is now closed, sadly. It's now turned into Bar Biscay. With my lovely friends Scott and Sari running the show over there. They're beautiful geniuses, and they make Spanish foods. Anyway, you should check it out. Anyway, so we were out there, and Matt was running the bar program over there, and I, you know, mentioned to him that I was opening a brewery. He was super interested in joining the team. Obviously, on the bar side, I told him we're going to have a full cocktail program. I'd love it to be baller, you know?
No, yeah.
And so, you know, Matt, being who he is, hired some great people, trained them up. We got awesome ice program. We have a really
ice,
nice
ice is important. I was at Forbidden Root, and it's
huge.
And the first thing I noticed in my cocktail was like, these are some proper ice cubes right here.
Yeah, dude, we use Hoshizaki, like this Japanese ice maker that makes like perfectly square cubes that turn clear when they hit the water. They're very pure. We filter all the water that we use in any part of either the brewing or cocktail making or ice making or anything like that. And then we actually buy our ice cubes from Just Ice. And so they make like, these perfectly square cubes for all of our old fashions. And then these cats are doing crazy things. Like they all hate beer cocktails, like classic beer cocktails where people are literally just taking beer and mixing it with booze. I mean, we do Radlers, but when they make a beer cocktail, they'll actually break down the components. So maybe I have some wort. They'll reduce the wort down over high flame to caramelize the malts and then use that in a cocktail as like a counterpoint to maybe something bitter or, you know, something like that. They'll also use hops and they'll kind of make like distillates and things like that out of the hops. Super cool stuff they're doing up at the bar. And they like to flex their muscles a couple times a year with kind of doing molecular beer astronomy where they do kind of like deconstructed cocktails. I mean, the last thing they did just kind of blew my mind. They also do push hops, which are literally boozy push pops. And they made gummy beers. They made a bunch of gummy bears out of like booze and beer. They just really run with it, and we try to give them all the stuff they need to be able to do that. So,
does that come from your moto days of like?
I think they're inspired by that, and I think it's like their way of kind of tipping the hat to our past and kind of where we come from.
Yeah.
And I love it, and I think they enjoy it, and the guest gets a kick out of it as well, which is super
like
cool,
all that stuff still is out there, and it's out of a lot of people's range. But when you can come and be like, push. Pop cocktail like
right
this, like,
we have enough resources, you know, we have enough friends, we have enough knowledge within our walls, we have like 60 employees now, and so like there's tons of people who have ideas, and you got to listen to them, man. Like nothing comes from nothing, man. You can be inspired by anybody any day, so it's pretty awesome.
I didn't make it to Moto, but I did make it to ING, and it kind of blows you away, that whole I can't talk.
it's
a podcast,
all right,
and I can't talk.
It's all good.
Molecular
gastronomy. You got it.
Yeah.
Avant-garde. Just say,
are there places?
Flying food and shit. I don't know.
now, since that's a past life, are there places like that in town that you still frequent?
I don't frequent them. I can't afford the ticket on Alinea. I've never been to Alinea. I would go there in a hot second because I think, you know, Grant's a genius. But, there's definitely, I think, molecular is one of those things that, like, people don't just, like, go out and, like, do just that anymore. Maybe someone has an offer. I think a lot of those methods now, at least when I was doing them, they were like very new, very, very, very edgy. But now you can find xanthan gum in most kitchens, or guar gum, or you know, all these crazy Ultratex 8. You know, chefs are using this stuff all over the place. So now it's just more cohesive, you know?
Right. It kind of filtered down. It got more of the people a little bit.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. It's not
I think I have a Jim Krejci at my back door, and any brewer that ever hears this podcast will know exactly what I'm talking about. Hey, Tim.
Jim Krejci?
Yeah, I think Jim's at the back door. Jim Krejci is a Chicago legend. He's he actually built this whole brew house. He's from Allied Beverage Tanks. Everyone knows.
Is this the dude that he built Haymarket?
That guy. I think Jim's at the back door. So Jim Krejci, and everyone does an accent. So when he comes in, you'll hear him. He's, fucking brewers, yada, yada. Yeah, there he is. Right on target.
It's almost classic for us.
Yeah.
We were at Alarmus, and Chet Brett comes in the back door.
Chet Brett is, like, iconic, right?
Yeah.
What's up, Jim? He's doing a podcast. I see that. Yeah. Yeah, what's up, Dave? See a podcast? I was just talking about you, Jim. So Jim looks like Steven Spielberg, and
we're talking. You're the guy that builds all these breweries. I think we were talking to you at Haymarket, and you're like, yeah, we set this thing up in China. We ran all the water. We took it all down. We brought it over here, kind of thing. Yeah, I remember that. It was like 10 years ago.
Hell yeah, you did. That's awesome.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, so he's like he's a legend. But is that my keg filler? I love you so much. It's unreal. Yeah. You're the best.
This is what's fun. You don't get that stuff when you're
6 feet, right?
Sitting in the office.
is that 6 feet to you guys? You've been lying to your ladies? What's going on?
Oh, man. That's good stuff. Man.
So what's coming up besides the – you got the cans here.
Yeah. Hey, Jim. Yeah, these are the cans. Here you go. For you guys. That was drink these.
What's on the horizon as far as like beer or things you guys want to do?
So the cool thing is now we're going into production here, and we are I'm kind of losing my shit about it because it's a crazy brave new world, but I'm super excited. So we started off with the Beezer, which is our hazy. We're going to do the Della, that's our Kolsch, that's our crusher, and then moving on, man. The next idea is we want to do our thoughts series. So the base of Hubs for Hope is our thoughts. So the original name of that came from I literally have a pad of paper in my shower.
Nice.
Because I feel like it's the only point in my life where everything's just absolutely quiet and I can think. Wow. So my wife bought me this waterproof pencil, waterproof pad of paper, and I write down thoughts in it. Like, you know, because you'll just sit in there and I just like always have these thoughts and then maybe I forget them. You get on with your day. So I call them shower thoughts. So our first in the series is called Shower Thoughts. Then Citra Thoughts, and then Galactic Thoughts, which has been our most popular. So we're like, we should can that. So that's up next. Our artist is Jason. He's working on that right now. And then our other one's going to be called Cushy. So you have the fruited sour. We're going to run with that. Yeah. I love making fruited sours. Yeah, I think they're fun. We're doing one next week with Corridor. It's going to be a double collaboration. We're going to do a pineapple margarita goza here. And then he's going to do a mango margarita goza there. And then we're going to sell each other kegs and blend them in-house. And then I'm even thinking maybe a cocktail because I'm weird. Remember Moto.
Wow.
But yeah, so I'm even thinking maybe our bartenders come up with some kind of strange cocktail. So that's kind of next on the horizon for us. And then who knows after that, you know, then we get into Krampus season, which is our barrel-aged beer. So we're pretty excited about that.
And so the cans are only here. Are they not in stores yet?
They are in stores. We are, as of last week, officially out there. We gave a little over 200 cases of each to our distributor at Lewis Glunz.
Oh, awesome.
And then from there, I just got to make sure I can keep up with them. Right. So that's we're in like six counties, so I got to make my little 15-barrel brew house do work.
It's hard to really keep track of like what's in the stores and what's the tap room only releases
totally.
At this point. It's like, oh.
Well, the good thing, you know, the cool thing about a brew pub is that you kind of have like a grounds to kind of test things out.
Yeah.
Not all of them are like equal. You know, some things might do well in the pub that maybe don't do well in the market, but a lot of this stuff, like I've been working on Beezer for 2 years straight up. Like I've been working on it. Used to be called Trendy with an I because I thought I'd be an asshole about making hazies, because at that time I was like, fine, I'll make a hazy because I was getting enough guff from people. And then I like really got into it, and it's like a rabbit hole. You're like, oh man, there's so much to learn, because you basically have to unlearn a lot of stuff to learn new stuff. And I'm still messing with that recipe a little bit here and there. I'm kind of like just fine tuning it now, but you know, it's there's always more to be learned about these styles.
That's almost exactly what the Alarmist guys told us.
Oh yeah,
like, it's like,
oh yeah, one of their first things.
Know,
yeah, you so. Think you know, and then you read like one brewer form, you realize, you know, shit.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of smart people out there.
That's all 2 years in the making. That's
crazy. Yeah, dude. Yeah. So, yeah. We're still always messing with stuff. I mean, that's the thing about brewing, really. I think, who is it? Brett Porter. I don't know if he's still with Goose Island, but back in Goose Island, he told my buddy Bjorn, who now works at Goose Island, I worked with him at Flossmoor, there is a humbling moment every single day in the brew house. And yeah, that is a fact. It's like every time you think you know some shit, there's a lot more to learn. So, yeah, there's always something new happening.
I think that's what keeps us all into it,
totally.
Even from our angle too. Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love people who drink who want to know more too. That always excites me when I find a drinker who's like, I want to understand the process more. I'm like, fuck yeah. Educate yourself. Turn your hobby into a stronger hobby, you know?
Right.
It's great.
And hobbies, you have homebrewers come in here and just hang out.
Yeah, we got a couple guys right now. Yeah.
They're taking that hobby to the next level.
Yeah, yeah. I'm working on a couple of things right now. I'm working with Chaos Brew Club. Nice. Those guys are super awesome. My buddy James with them, he's now on the board, and he's kind of in charge of events. And he was like, we should do like a homebrewer competition. So they're going to do that. And I'll be judging that. And then they'll actually make it on the big system. And then I do a guest brewer for the day for charity sometimes, which people come in, they brew with me on certain brew days. Usually just kind of devolves at the end of the day into just drinking and eating way too much and having some laughs, but as does brewing in general. And then yeah, these guys, they just, you know, they text me, email me, hey, man, can we use the system? Hell yeah. They got a really nice Bali, like, more beer lowrider system that's way easier than brewing at home. So these guys, instead of messing up their kitchens, can come in here. They got floor drains, they got filtered water.
Your wives and girlfriends are happy.
Yeah. Yes. 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 Yeah. But yeah, if I remember my home brewing days correctly, I remember right around the cleanup time was when I was just drunk enough to not want to do it. Yeah. And sometimes that stuff might hang out in the sink until the next day, or, you know, the smell was also a thing that really pissed them off. So.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. Well, where can people find out what's coming up?
Yeah, they can follow us on. We're super active on Instagram and Facebook. Yeah. Less active on Twitter, but we still post stuff on there.
Nice.
Our Instagram stories will kind of give hints as to what's kind of coming.
Cool.
But yeah, we're pretty open book. Otherwise, just pop into the pub. I've always got something new. Maybe we don't hype it up that much. Like, we got one on right now called Gluttonous that I think is stellar. It's a big old imperial stout with like peanut butter and coconut and all that stuff going on. That's like super sticky, and we're always trying new stuff and trying to take it to the next level. So I feel like we're hitting our stride. I feel like we're finding our voice a little bit, and I feel like the realm is like definitely like the IPA stout sour realm, but you know, still want to make you some like really nice clear crushable classic styles here and there. So
it's always new when I come in. There's that white chocolate beer for a little bit.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, pretty awesome.
We're bringing back Cinnamon Prost Crunch, which made a pretty big splash last year, which was basically a white stout that I had brewed to save another beer to back blend it into. That'll be ours and anyone who listens to this podcast secret. And then I ended up taking it and throwing some vanilla and some cinnamon into it and some lactose. And I was like, oh, make an horchata beer. And the first moment I tasted it, I was like, I made Cinnamon Toast Crunch accidentally.
And so
we were like, Cinnamon Prost Crunch it is. And some people liked it. So we're going to make it again. You'll see that coming back. Galactic Thoughts is a couple weeks out.
I really dug that. It was a Moscow Mule, but it had a Goza base.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thank you. That was more recently. So
I was here like maybe March Madness.
Yeah.
I watched Zion.
Nice.
Second round.
Yeah, man, we're always here. I love cocktail beers.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get into them more. I did like a tiki cocktail, a tiki like Hefeweizen last year. I called it a tiki Weizen. That one went really well. I think there's just so many parallels between those two worlds.
Yeah.
I always like dreaming that stuff up with Matt at the bar and seeing how we can make it a reality, you know? So we'll see. We'll see what the future holds.
Yeah, especially as tiki and hazy, like that. Just collides there.
Oh yeah, 100%. All those tropical flavors in a big way. Yeah, I'm excited to do more with fruit and the hazies now too. Now that I feel like I got a kind of a better grip on them. For a while they're falling out, getting clear. Some of them were drier than others. And we're trying out different stuff, seeing what stuck, you know. And
dig it.
And now I think we got a pretty good method down. We're starting to get it.
Yeah, this place is righteous, man. Kid friendly.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, food's on point. Cocktails. Beer is pretty good too.
Thanks.
What's the address here, man?
It's 4419 West Montrose. So Montrose, and we call it K-Town around here. So it's like basically Montrose and Costner and Keeler and all that. So right over here.
Lake Effects right down the street.
Yep.
Harris.
Harris is a stone's throw. I mean,
less
they're
than
like,
a mile.
Yeah, they're less than a mile. Twisted Hippo just opened up 2 miles right down Montrose.
Yeah.
Got ourselves a nice little community happening over here. Alarmist is right down the road. Which is, I love those guys. They've been helping me out a lot. I got to give them as much props as possible. They help me with boxes. They help me with hops. They help me with my systems. Like, they're awesome. Yeah, they're great.
Omega? Right,
those are my boys. I only use Omega Yeast. It's like one of the product that I can control. That's like not control, but you know, I don't have to have anybody drive it to me. I can literally walk down and grab my yeast.
Right.
That's a very low carbon footprint.
Yeah, and Aris and Alarmist won with those hazies on
they
those
sure
Omega
did.
Yeast.
Nah.
So.
Hey man, I guarantee you, if you look at the amount of people who won awards, I think Lance actually counted them. There's a lot of breweries that were using Omega Yeast.
Yeah,
those guys know what they're doing. Lance is a genius. Yeah. He's very, very smart. So,
and yeah. then the Northwest side, it has a lot going on. It's true.
Yeah.
One of my favorite features is like there's a 4 a.m. bar like right across the street from this joint. Oh, so when you guys close, you hang out at Sidekicks at 4 a.m. It looks like the Regal Beagle. It looks like you walked in 1978. Oh, yeah. It's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's always weird going to the bathroom there because they still have all those like really old like sexist, you know, posters of like women with Ferraris, and I think there might be like Astroglide or something in there. It's like really weird, like product in their hair that makes it look like really surreal. You know, they got like a hose wrapped around their thigh and it says like smooth ride, and you're like, okay, like this is weird. Yeah. But it's like in the pictures are like screwed into the walls because like people have tried to steal this. I was like, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, like this is something like from my dad's like bar when I was a kid. But no, they're awesome. I won $100 there one time on Halloween, hammered drunk, dressed like Lemmy. I sang Ace of Spades. I cussed at the crowd. I flipped everyone off, and then they gave me $100, which I used to buy everyone drinks. So, you know, I didn't buy a bunch of whiskey for myself in good old Lemmy fashion, but instead, you know, did the full thing. So that's my. I've done karaoke recently with Ari Magalis from Maplewood. He was walking out of the bar with his roommate, and I was walking into the bar. I was like, leaving already? They're like, not now. And they flipped around. We pounded High Life's in Malort, and then they made me do a lot of karaoke. But those are the only two times I've done karaoke over there, and it was amazing every time. Second time with good company. So,
right on, man.
Yeah. All right, that's the way to end it. All right, Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch when we're not recording.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter, BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And we'll be back next week with the Hop Review, guys.
Right on. Trevor, this was cool, man. Thank you, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Awesome.
Cheers.
Cheers.